Thank you again for this opportunity to have been with you since Sunday. It's been wonderful. I've been fighting off a sinus. Well, it happens about this time every year anyway. So I just as well be here fighting it off with y'all as anywhere else. We have enjoyed it and appreciate the meals. Lacey and Arnita tonight, appreciate that very much. Appreciate the fellowship and the time together. And also with Dennis and Linda as well. Appreciate being here. Being a Christian is what life is all about. Living for Christ, doing His will. I don't know if your Bible is a red letter edition or not. Mine that I've got here tonight is not. But the lesson I'm doing, I've got in red. Most of this lesson's in red. Red letter edition, the words of Jesus written in red. I've heard some say that they were only interested in what Jesus had to say and nothing else. Well, if we'll finish this lesson, we're going to see that's maybe a misnomer, but nonetheless, we shall see. I was motivated to write this, write up this lesson a few years ago when I heard a song by Brooks and Dunn. I'm finding more and more truth in the words in red, the words written in red. Now, this is refreshing to me to hear that, especially if indeed they're giving credit to Jesus Christ. Don't know their intent, but I did like hearing that. The words written in red. Some people will assign greater importance to the words in red than to the rest of the Bible. This ought not to be the case. The truth of the matter is simply this, that the words in red are no more authoritative than the words in black. For every page of God's Word, the Bible, is encrypted with the blood of Jesus. Every page, every word, if you wish, informing us of God's scheme of redemption from Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. All the way through Revelation 22, verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. We see Jesus throughout this, and it's important to understand that God's Word is reflecting that very idea, that idea of salvation through Jesus. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all Scripture. What part of all do we leave out? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work, unto all good works. God wants us to be equipped. He wants us to have a complete understanding of His Word, and He's given that to us through His Scripture. Actually, when we get right down to it, no written words from Jesus Himself are in existence. Don't get up and leave. The same holy apostles and prophets who wrote the rest of the Bible recorded for us the words of Jesus. The words in red. We know what Jesus said because God saw fit through the Holy Spirit to have them revealed to us in His Word. And someone puts them in red, that's good. But we must not, indeed, say those are the only ones that count. Those are the only ones important. But, you know, when we get right down to it, it's really not a big problem because what those words in red spoken by Jesus don't contradict those words in black and vice versa. They work together. We know what Jesus said because we have it recorded for us here. It's interesting. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, records of the gospel of Jesus Christ, much is said. I like what John says. We can't give you everything. If we did, volumes would be way too big to fill all that Jesus has said and done, all the good that he's done. Then over in Acts, a verse talks about Jesus going around doing good. And nowhere in the gospel accounts did we hear that. We saw it over and over and over again. All that he did was good. And all that he did was in line with the reason for his existence. When Jesus knew that his crucifixion and return to the Father were at hand, very close, he called his apostles together and he said to them some very comforting things, some things that really help us to understand the difference in God's word in red and in black. In John 14, I'm speaking of, John 14, verse 23 starting, Jesus is speaking to the apostles. He says, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Jesus is speaking concerning deity. He's speaking concerning this word, the word of God. He's speaking how that in this word we can have that within us. David hid the word of God in his heart that he might not sin. Jesus, God, deity, make our abode with him. "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. If I have Christ in me, I have God in me. If I have Christ and God in me, I've got the Word of God in me. How else do we know about God except through his Word?" When we see this Word and put it in our lives, we obey this Word, and in doing that, we are obeying God. We are obeying Jesus. And he continues with the apostles, speaking to them here, and he says, verse 25, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you." Now, he knew that his time was near. He says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Now, this gives me great comfort, what Jesus is saying to the apostles. He's saying that there's nothing going to be left out. You are human. That's not in the script. But he understands they are human. They're going to need help. And that help is going to come. Just in case they didn't get it, it's recorded again. We have it recorded for us in John 14, 26, John 15, 26, John 16, verse 13. And we see there that Jesus makes that promise. "I'm going to have the Father send him to you. I'm going to send him to you." Excuse me, our Holy Spirit's going to come. But the purpose of that is so that you, apostles, will deliver to these people in 2017 words that they can bank on. Authoritative from God's Word, the words of Jesus. He's going to teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance that I've taught you. Nothing's going to be left out. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Excuse me. Made it all week, and now this is coming. Don't worry, if I run out of water, there's plenty right behind me. I best not drink it. "Ye have heard how that I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe." Now, does it sound like Jesus is speaking to the apostles? He knows their humanity. He knows what he's taught them, but he also knows they're going to need help. And he has confidence in them. Now that confidence that Jesus gives to the apostles gives me tremendous confidence today when I read and study from His Word that what I need is right there for me. I don't need to add to it. I don't need to take from it. But I need to believe it, accept it, obey it, and live it, and share it with others. It gives me great confidence. And I like the repetition. John 14:26, John 15:26, John 16:13. I like how that fits in. Gospel of John, according to John there, and being the gospel of belief, as it is often referred to. Jesus loved the apostles, but He saw that what they were going to do and what they were going to give to mankind was what we need today. That's His love for us. And throughout every generation since Jesus left this planet Earth, that has been the case. Apostles couldn't have done it by themselves, but we've got it here. It's established. It is truth. Now, we've already had a lesson on truth, the truth about truth, but this is truth. It was truth then. It is truth today, and it will be truth tomorrow, forever and ever. Truth is like that. Also, and let's go down to John 16. Start with verse 13, and we see this repetition a little bit. Howbeit, when He, who, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. That's the Holy Ghost He spoke of in that earlier verse. Guide you in all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Did Jesus not say the same thing about the words He spoke? He sure did. There is unity in God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, and we can be most thankful for that. You know, that understanding that three in one and that that deity is not always an easy concept. But I heard Hugo McCord one time in a lesson, and he illustrated God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. He said there's three, but they're separate. He says, imagine taking a wooden spoon and put a drop of food coloring, blue, red, and green, three different distinct drops. There are three individual drops on that spoon. And he said, jiggle that spoon. Now what do you got? You got one bigger drop. Now separate. That's three in one. That's the unity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. I like that. It kind of sticks with me. This idea of God being in control and His Son coming to die for us and then His Spirit living for us through the Word today, there for us, to be in us, to help us do that which we need to do to have that salvation, to please God, to do His will. Jesus has confidence in this work that was set forth. In Matthew chapter 10, some more words in red here, starting with verse 35. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of their own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And then he says, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He's tying together there God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. He's given us an understanding that what we do to please God isn't going to please everybody else, whether it be in family, whether it be co-workers, whatever. We're going to have to take God at His Word. Now, I look at those words that are in red, and yeah, I'm not going to really get insulted if someone says that's what they want, because, you know, I think I can teach them the truth just using the red edition, those red letters. They're there. There's no contradiction. and that which Jesus taught. Matter of fact, they go together, do they not? And seeing the wisdom of God in what Jesus is doing and getting all this set up. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Look at all the prophecies of the Messiah. They're not in red, but they are in red. They're all about Jesus Christ. When we note these scriptures that we're looking at, and we see that they're not saying anything about a personal Savior, so to speak. God's no respecter of persons. However, each individual salvation is personal, is it not? We make our salvation personal by our commitment to the Lord and following after Him, just like Paul did in Galatians 2:20. I believe we talked about that the other night. So, the apostles had this divine assistance, and I am thankful that they did. It gives me confidence, and then what I have in God's Word is that which God wants me to have, and is that which I need, and all that I need. I appreciate that. I am most grateful for that. I don't need any additional truth. All that I need has been revealed. It's brought forth. All the words of the Scripture of God breathed. We just read a moment ago, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Paul discusses this process in the Scripture in Ephesians chapter 3. Listen to what he says. Excuse me. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, God's dispensation, this gospel message, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Paul's words may be hard to understand, but they can be understood. And these words are important. And these words that he's speaking are not in red, but they are from God. One and the same. And he's bringing this forth. Listen, verse 5. Which in other ages, the patriarchal dispensation, the Mosaic, was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So Paul is recognizing that all that we have is from God. It's God the Father, from the Father, from the Spirit. It's been revealed. It is of God. And he continues in verse 7, finishing up there, he says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Excuse me. Paul was a man that suffered a lot. Excuse me. He converted to Christianity and he preached that gospel to the Gentiles. So you're going to get cough sore about that. And he did those things to help Christians. He went about doing mission work. He went about establishing congregations. And he cared for the people. He's doing all that because of his understanding of the importance of God's Word, the importance of what Jesus taught, and the importance of what God wanted him to teach. I'm so thankful that it all comes together. The words that are written in red include all kinds of things. Some people want to hear love, 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 love. That's all they want to hear. And they think God is love, and so he loves everybody, and everybody's okay, and they can do their own thing because that's God's love. Well, the words written in red also include things such as judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. That's right. Jesus is saying we can distinguish that which is right and that which is wrong. How? Through his word. And not only that, he's saying that we're not to judge according to appearance, but we are to make those righteous judgments. Those righteous judgments. Also in red, in Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2, Jesus said, "Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with that measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." And then dropping down to verse 12, he says, "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Jesus is talking about judgment. Jesus is talking about those things which are very important. Y'all just shut your eyes. Thank you. Must be good. It tastes terrible. So when we think about this idea of the words in red, Jesus did not deliver a sugar-coated gospel. The apostles did not teach a sugar-coated gospel. It's hard, it's tough, it's narrow, it's straight, it's involved, it's difficult. It's a matter of making a commitment to God and following after Him. The words of Jesus that are in red, whether they're in red or not, they're true. They're from God's Word. The authority within them should be respected. That authority will accurately reflect the mind and the will of Christ, as well as the mind and the will of God the Father. Thus, we need to take those very strongly, all of God's Word, all of the Bible. And on the flip side, the words of the apostles in their epistles are equally true and authoritative. We need to listen to them. We need to understand that. When Paul, to the church at Corinth, makes this statement in chapter 6, 1 Corinthians, verses 9 through 11, he's speaking through the Holy Spirit. It's not him setting forth something. It's that which is of God. He says, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." He names some 10 or 11 sins here, and he names them very strongly. And he's saying, we can't be involved in that and expect to go to heaven. It's pretty strong stuff. It's far-fetched. It's not in red, but it is true. It is in red. It's from God. It's of the Holy Spirit. It's concerning that which Jesus would have us to understand. Verse 11, there in 1 Corinthians 6, he says, "And such were some of you." Say what? Yeah, some of those Christians had been involved in those sins that he had just mentioned right before that. I like "were." That word is nice. Past tense. They've been forgiven. They are no longer living in that sin. They have repented. They've come beyond that. And he says, "But you are washed." They're washed. They've been baptized for remission of their sins. And they've been sanctified. And they've been justified. And all of this is in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Those words are not in red, but they are very important. And they are part of God's Word. We've got to take them with the same authority as the ones in red, do we not? Jesus spoke the golden rule. However, he also decreed that the person whose lifestyle is given to sinful living will not be saved. He speaks of love, but he also speaks of justice. God is a God of love. I will agree with that a hundredfold. Without that love of God, none of us would have any chance of salvation whatsoever. But you know, we've got these problems, we've got sin, and it's got to be taken care of. God's love, His justice. And the good news is that we can do that ourselves simply by turning away from that sin, repenting of that sin, putting it in the past that it might be forgiven. God's Word shows us very clearly in red. Jesus said we need to hear and we need to believe. John 12, 44 through 48. He that believeth on me, Jesus spoke, written in red, in the red letter edition, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and rejecteth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words which I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day. Notice he's talking about believing in him, hearing that message, hearing his words, believing them. And even judgment mentioned in there too. John 3, 15, 16. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting, have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God made that available to everyone. He's not saying that everyone's saved just because of the love of God, not because of his love for the world, but he's saying because of God's love for the world, there's a way out. And anyone that hears it and believes it can obey and find that way out. He should not be lost because obedience should come. We must not take the context lightly in John chapter 3 or anywhere else in the Bible. The Greek word that's used there is translated in the King James Version as believeth, is the same Greek word. Same Greek word in what is called the present article, present active particle. My Greek's not the best in the world. And it actually could be translated obeys. It means a continual belief, a continual obedience. The King James Version, the ETHN is always kind of took that to mean that was their way of putting the Greek in there to show that it keeps on going. It keeps that present active particle from the Greek, that continual belief. It's a matter of believing and continuing to believe. It's a matter of being born again and remaining faithful and true to him, following after him. This is how it is translated. This is what it means. So Jesus says we need to hear the word, we need to believe the word. And then in Luke 13, 3 and 5, he says we need to repent. I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He speaks of confession in Matthew 10, 32 and 33. However, I'm convinced that confession's not the good confession we make at baptism. It's a lifestyle of confession, Christ, is what he's talking about there. But it is confession nonetheless. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Acts chapter 8, verse 37 is not red, it's black, but it's written in blood, and there the eunuch, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The confession that Peter made when Jesus said, whom do you say that I am? Matthew 16, Peter says, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. That confession is making a public statement before we're baptized into Christ that indeed we do believe in the deity of Jesus. And that's fundamental. It's important. And then, as Jesus said in Matthew 10, we continue to confess him. We can't just confess him before baptism and that's it. We've got to continue to confess him. Mark 16, 15 and 16, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Jesus speaking, red letter. We got red words for hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. That's the plan of salvation. That's obeying that plan. That's putting on Christ as Lord and Master to become a Christian. Being born again. And many other scriptures. We have others. Matthew 28, Jesus in red speaks of baptism. John 3, he's speaking of being born again. That's water baptism. and then remaining faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. All of these things, all of these words in red are very, very important. In John chapter 14, I want to go to the first three verses there in closing. And Jesus is speaking. He knows that his passion, his life is fixing to end. He knows he's going to return to the Father. And he says to the apostles, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I like the King James Version use there of mansions. I do understand from the Greek it means room, which is means there's sufficient room for anybody. But I like that idea of a mansion. Regardless of the size or whatever, heaven is going to be a mansion compared to anything that anybody has anywhere on this earth. Amen? We know indeed it's going to be great. And he's saying to the apostles, don't worry, believe, remain faithful, be strong. I'm leaving, I'll be back, but we're going to have a place prepared. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. My question to you tonight, are you prepared? Have you obeyed that gospel? Have you repented of your sins, confessed that he is the Son of God, been baptized for remission of your sins? And if so, are you living faithfully? Are you doing his will? The victory is ours if we will but obey it, obey that gospel, and live it. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. The lesson is yours. Won't you respond if you need to, as together we stand and sing. Thank you.